an evacuation facility after Katrina.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Archaeologists have discovered a pre-Columbian pet cemetery in Peru, thought to have been used about 1,300 years ago. So far, scientists have unearthed 82 dogs buried with blankets and the treats. For the first time, a NASA chief is visiting Chinese space officials in Beijing, talks aimed at future partnerships in space programs. The U.S. government says it's now okay to take gels and liquids on board airliners as part of carry-on luggage, so long as they're purchased at secure airport shops. But passengers will also be allowed to carry toiletry items like lip gloss and hand lotion if they're no more than 3 ounces each and are placed in a sealable plastic bag. A federal judge in Miami is granting class action status to a lawsuit against the makers of light cigarettes, who are accused of defrauding smokers by claiming that light cigarettes were safer than regular brands. The trial against Philip Norris, R.J. Reynolds, Lorillard, and others will begin in January. And existing home sales fell again in August for the fifth consecutive month. They were down 0.5%. The median price for an existing home dropped to $225,000. That's a 1.7% percentage lower than it was a year ago this time. Gold is trading at $590.10 an ounce. Light sweet crude is down 18 cents, trading at $60.37 a barrel. All the markets are higher this hour on Wall Street. The Dow is up 55 points to 11,562. NASDAQ is up 23 at 2242. And the S&P 500 is up 8 at 1323. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It's the week in review. All topics are valid, and we've got a lot to talk about. It's the last week, of course, that Congress is going to be in session. It's quite rare, in fact, to have a single week when Congress is in session. This is, of course, the most do-nothing Congress in American history. Harry Truman's Do-Nothing Congress, remember reading about that back in the 1950s, worked a lot harder than this one. It worked more than 100 weeks a year, and this one is barely pushing 90. But perhaps we'd want to avoid what they would try to do in this Congress. There's a lot going on. One of the main things is apparently a compromise. McCain bends in on torture, and if you want to talk about that, and the idea that even though apparently, some of these things will be illegal in the future. The president won't specify them, and it won't be retroactive as to the past. So, in other words, the idea will be that George Bush's 6 years in office will be a time when America didn't have to follow the Constitution. And, of course, we have to raise the question of whether or not American GIs would also be ready to be waterboarded, put into cold 32-degree weather, and for, you know, several hours on end, and then taken to trial without being shown the evidence and executed. How would we feel if, say, Iran or North Korea did that? One of the things that's coming out more and more, it has to deal with what Sarge told me just on this broadcast from Mississippi about a week or two ago, is that in World War II, up into including the war in Iraq, by telling the enemy that we were going to follow the Geneva Conventions, if they would simply stop fighting, people actually laid down their arms. That they're actually promising peace, in some cases, is actually beneficial in fighting. But no, Congress hasn't done anything to stop lobbying, hasn't done anything to stop the corruption. I mean, the lobbying provisions it was going to do were really quite small. Things like, hey, don't give massive trips abroad on first-class planes in return for legislation. Guess they won't pass that. They also won't pass very important Homeland Security initiatives that I've been arguing have been needed for more than 3 years now. Most importantly, chemical plants. You see, nuclear plants, if attacked by a Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb, are largely designed to collapse inward, much as Three Mile Island did, for example, and not outward in the way that happened at Chernobyl. But chemical plants, not designed that way. Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb gets in the right place at the right chemical plant. 10,000 Americans could be dead. And after it happens, just be ready for the Bush administration to say, oh, well, we never expected that, just like we never expected them to hijack our airplanes and fly them into buildings. It is a problem, and there are really fairly easy ways to fix it. Everything from concrete barriers around chemical plants to a redesign of the plant so that the chemicals that are trapped fall inward rather than outward. The chemical companies, though, who are massive contributors to the Republican Party, the chemical plants don't want that. It's expensive to protect the public from a massive disaster caused by their own chemicals. So I have another solution. Let's say life imprisonment for anyone working in a chemical plant with power to protect America's safety, but who refuses. Not necessarily the death penalty, simply life imprisonment. If we did that, you know what? I think we'd get those protections quite soon. Elsewhere in the world, of course, we have Iraq is considering devolving down into several autonomous regions, probably three, the Kurdish region, the Sunni region, and the Shiite region. Hey, I've been arguing for years that's the solution in Iraq. I argued that back in 1990 during the Persian Gulf War. These lines that were drawn by the British simply don't make any sense. And let the people live how they want to live, but when they fight that civil war over those boundaries, I hope we get out. Another new report, of course, has come to show that that by 16 intelligence agencies, the national intelligence estimate shows that, in fact, our war in Iraq caused more terrorism against the United States, not less, and that, in fact, we are less safe than we were when Saddam Hussein was in power. Guess that throws out the last Republican argument. Meanwhile, in Iraq, we see atrocities against Christians that we never saw prior to the removal of Saddam Hussein. Indeed, because of the comments the Pope made, we have churches being bombed in Iraq, and apparently we can do little to stop them. Killed one, wounded eight, and they continue. A lot to talk about, and really it all has to do with the question of where our country belongs as a country. Are we a country that joins in the fighting traditions of East Germany and the Soviet Union, a country that jails journalists, that tortures prisoners, that puts people in jail without trials? Is this the kind of country that we want ourselves to be? When I come back after the break, I want to talk about the new information that we have about Maher Arar, who I talked a lot about last week. He, of course, is a Canadian citizen who was shipped by the United States to Syria to be tortured. There's a lot of news coming out about this that, yes, believe it or not, it's even worse than what you expect. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. If you want to comment on these or any other story, you're always welcome to do so. Pick up the phone and dial. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
What's Head On with Bob Kincaid?
This is Head On with Bob Kincaid.
The only hope that George Bush had after he raped the Treasury, after he ripped us off, the only hope he had for balancing out the amount of the bad paper that he had to go and hang in China was to take control of the means by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one of the faucets. The other faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China, and on the other end, act as the dealer outside the schoolyard to China's little junkie. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, but I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so small that everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, only at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and RadioPower.org.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It is Monday. It is the week in review. All topics are valid. You got something to talk about with our Do Nothing Congress or the things that it wants to do. Something to talk about with the way we torture people and whether that is indeed part of American values. You want to talk about the Maher Arar case? I have a lot of new details on that. Or the fact that in Pakistan, it is now coming out that, contrary to American law, we paid them millions, indeed perhaps billions of dollars, to become our ally in the war on terror. And, of course, with that money means we can't do anything about it when we know, we have reason to know, that Osama bin Laden is in Pakistan today. Pakistan is actually a very interesting case. Here we apparently paid them billions of dollars, and we threatened to, you know, blow them back to the Stone Age, as we learned from Richard Armitage over the weekend. And at the same time, we have done nothing about capturing the most vicious murderer in American history who's sitting there right in Pakistan. Isn't that amazing that this is the one country that apparently we do not believe is a part of fighting the war on terror? Meanwhile, I have to tell you, last weekend was Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. I went home to my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, to celebrate that. And I was reminded that there were three Jews that are not allowed to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, people who are simply providing for their families, trying to help their country protect its borders, and, of course, were kidnapped, one in Gaza and two in Lebanon, but all acting within their borders, all acting within Israel's borders, and the world, of course, doesn't really care about them. Now we find out that the United Nations troops in Lebanon, what are they doing? Well, they're going to sit there. They're not going to disarm Hezbollah. They're not going to stop them from getting new missiles. Here it was. The UN was condemning Israel. How dare you blockade Lebanon's borders? How dare you try to prevent them from getting these weapons that have been used to rain down on American cities? And now the UN is saying, well, they're not going to do anything. It's amazing, really. When it comes to acts of self-defense, I've always supported a country defending themselves. But you have a world that I think is more in tune with trying to get Arab oil than with recognizing right and wrong. It's very simple, folks. If a country attacks another country, they have a right to defend themselves. And what's going to happen in the next war? What's going to happen when Hezbollah kidnaps some more Israelis and sends more missiles raining down on Israeli soil, and Israel fights back and in the process kills some of those so-called peacekeepers. What's going to happen next? Maybe the United Nations simply is trying to help Hezbollah. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's definitely contrary to the UN resolution. So we can talk about all these things. All you have to do is call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And I have a call all the way from Germany, which is really, this is the farthest away I've ever had a telephone call from before. Angelica, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark.
Thank you for calling in.
You were asking whether or not it's, what did you exactly say, a cultural thing? Or, how could it be that Americans torture?
Yes, it's amazing to me because I was always raised to believe that America held itself to a higher standard and to higher moral values, and yet apparently our president thinks that torture is an American value.
Yeah, but you see, we in Europe, we have a different outlook because we don't think it's civilized for a country to not only to torture, but also not to impose the death penalty on people. So
well,
to me, that goes hand in hand.
I agree with you on torture. The death penalty is an interesting question, and I realize that Americans and Europeans are very different on that. I should say to you that I think it's fair that most Americans do not support the Bush presidency wanting to torture people. I think it's fair to say that most of us are horrified by that. Death penalty is something different. Most Americans do support the death penalty. It's my personal view that it's way overused and it should only be used in very extreme cases where there's no question of guilt, something like Timothy McVeigh or Osama bin Laden, a mass murderer perhaps.
I beg to differ with you on that, Mark, because either you use it or you don't. And then if you use it, then you become one of just a few states of the third world country states that use it, and not a civilized country like the U.S. And that's just my personal view. But when you have that kind of culture in your own country, then yes, it becomes more acceptable to have torture and to have torture in your own prisons, which happens a lot and I know about, and to incarcerate 14-year-olds and things like that. I think it really all falls into the same category as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. I mean, because I would certainly agree with you that you can't get the death penalty to 14-year-olds, and I definitely know of the incidents you're talking about with regard to mistreatment in our own prisons and also certainly even more so with mistreatment abroad. I guess I don't think that it necessarily has to lead one to the other. I think if you say that a Timothy McVeigh, someone who has, has confessed to killing hundreds of people and to doing so, along with evidence that he did so you don't get Carr, I think was his name, that claimed to kill JonBenet Ramsey, but apparently it was just weirdly confessed to her murder when he didn't do it. But when you get someone like Timothy McVeigh, where there's really no question as to what he's done, I guess my view is, I don't really care whether that man is alive or dead.
But that's not the principle of it, Mark. The principle of it is, what does your state, your government, what standards does it uphold? And that's what it's about. And it should not be that your government is allowed to just also kill for whatever reason.
Well, I'll tell you.
That's just my own.
No, it's a fair opinion. I'll tell you this. I one thing that I think is definitely true and where we definitely would agree is that I think that the death penalty is overused and unfairly used in America. One of the real horrors is that if you're poor and you're up for the chair, you're much more likely to get it than if you're rich. O.J. Simpson could afford some good lawyers, and he got off, whereas a poor person can't afford quality lawyers, and particularly in George Bush's home state of Texas, you find cases where the lawyer falls asleep or where the person is mentally ill, and that's those are really extreme examples. And we even had a Republican governor, Governor Ryan of Illinois, at one point recognized how unequal our death penalty was being applied. And of course, then there's the real fear that someone might be innocent.
Well, there you go, Mark. There is your argument for doing away with it altogether. And torture. And I just have to give you an example. We had a horrible case to where, excuse me, where a young boy was kidnapped and killed, and our police knew had the perpetrator. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
And but he wouldn't give information, and just the fact that the police chief threatened torture, he really got into high water. That was totally illegal for him to do. So, you know, it was a big issue that, no, I mean, you have to have, there are standards you have to abide by, and you cannot sway from them for any reason at all. And just like Turkey is trying to enter the EU, they don't even have a chance, or they didn't at least, while they still have the death penalty, and they have abolished that, just to even have a chance for negotiations to enter the EU, you know.
I'll tell you, while I agree with you on most of what you're saying, and I would probably end 90% or so of the death penalty cases in America, I personally am not for abolishing it entirely. And you could say it's uncivilized, and I understand those arguments, and I respect them. But I guess my view at the end of the day is that there are certain crimes, certain extremely awful crimes, and frankly, the only one I can think of is mass murder, where someone... I guess I feel forfeits their right to live. To me, it's not a question of deterrence. I'll concede at the outset it's not a question of deterrence. Partly it's a question of revenge. Partly it's a question of the public feeling that there are certain crimes where there's absolutely no doubt who did it. I mean, beyond reasonable doubt. But absolutely no doubt who did the crime. They've confessed to it. They've said they want to continue doing those crimes. That I guess I would say, even in a civilized society, are beyond the pale, and it's worthy of
that. But, Mark, if you go that, then you'd have so few cases, you know, where there's
right.
really beyond a reasonable, any doubt at all.
I think that's right.
You know, it's hardly even worth, you know, keeping your whatever gas chambers or keeping them operated because
yeah.
that's not really
worth it. I'll agree with you that under my system there would be very few death penalty cases. I mean,
exactly.
I would
so
restrict
even
it to mass murder
system,
only.
You know? But, you know, going back to torture, it's... like I say, I think it's just the culture of violence that that allows torture, and the more you know, it starts in the schoolyard, you know, where the strong kids bully the little ones, and it's a form of torture, and it just goes on, you know, and then with these rituals and fraternity houses, where, you know, that's a form of torture. All that is accepted. So what's to stop anyone from waterboarding us, or, you know, or inflicting any kind of pain on another person?
Well, you make a lot of good points.
Just kind of graduate
right.
Up the line like that.
No, I think you make a lot of good points. I think that what torture does, you look at Abu Ghraib, for example,
yeah.
And you see that when we start treating the prisoners as subhuman, we become subhuman ourselves.
Yeah, but you know what started that? Is basically the attitude of the brass, for lack of a better word now, inhumanizing the Iraqi people to begin with.
And certainly,
you know?
And certainly the prisoners. There's no question someone
just
who
the
was
Iraqis
a,
as a whole,
quote,
because,
suspected terrorist,
you know, because
unquote.
These casualties, apparently, you know, even as casualties, they don't count, because it rings to my, in my ear to this day, this you know, on these military briefings that they used to have every day in the beginning
right.
of the war, and when the first American casualties came in, and those were counted, and they were, what, in the hundreds then, and people were asked, well, what about the Iraqis? And this man said in the most flippant way that I just couldn't believe, I heard it like this. He says, we don't keep count, just like that.
Right.
We don't keep count.
And
you know,
and
he even shrugged
you,
it off like
count.
That. I can't believe this.
It wasn't an official count.
This man is saying that these lives don't count.
It wasn't an
and
official
why.
Count, but we did keep count. And indeed, it may well be over 100,000 at this point. We know it's more than
30,000. Absolutely,
30,
if that, if not more.
We
but just,
know it's at least
just
30,000.
That attitude, and this is the attitude of a commander, you know, being passed down to his troops, and yeah, they're, you know, it says we don't keep count because they're not important, and these people are not important, and they're not humans. Yes, and they're very easy to torture.
Angelica, let me ask you this. How has the view of the United States and Germany changed from the Clinton era and to the Bush era? I mean,
I can tell you that exactly, because when Bush doesn't dare show his face in Germany, because it is just an enormous security effort that where they have to shut down entire cities. It's just, you know, he was in Mainz, I think it was a couple of years ago, and people couldn't get to work, and they closed off the entire city, if you can imagine that. And it's a huge city. I mean, you know, no, because he's just basically whisked from an airplane to some location where he wants to go inside. No mingling with the crowds. And what you saw on that stupid picnic now with Angela.
Right. That was more about the pig than the big pig.
Yeah, the pig. The
but
pig.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's irreparable? You know, I mean, I remember I studied in Switzerland, Angelica, some years back. I was actually during the first Bush administration. And I found a lot of hostility among many Europeans toward anything American. I wonder whether, you know, is what Bush has done confirmed the belief by many Europeans that Americans are just uncivilized? Or do you think that if we had a new president, a Democrat in office, we could help regain our moral standing?
Well, it's very, very damaged. It really is. I mean, there's still lots of people going to, you know, New York for shopping because the dollar is low, and so, you know, in Florida it's warm, mm-hmm. and things like, and they have houses there and vacation houses. But, you know, as a whole, when I look at Clinton, he came to my town, my hometown. He first was awarded a prize and an award, and so, you know, he mingled and he jogged.
Okay,
and,
so you think there's right still hope then,
and
if we get a new president.
And
still...
everything. It was just, he played sax in the local bars.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. He's good at that.
Yeah, imagine Bush doing that. And he came back for just because he liked it there, you know. And
I guess the heart of my question is, do you think that that the German view of the American people is still benign, I guess, or do you think that that they hold all of us that responsible for the actions of our president?
Well, it's basically the same as with the Israelis. You keep on saying, well, the Israelis do this and that because they voted for Sharon. You at that time, you kind of lump everything together and you say, well, the Israelis. And, you know, because they voted for him more than 50%. Well, this is what happens here, too, in Germany. It says, well, you voted for Bush twice.
Well, actually,
so, in other words,
the American people, we voted for Gore in 2000 more than
50%.
We just have a very strange system where apparently a crazy woman named Catherine Harris in Florida gets to decide who our president is.
Yes.
But that's just an undemocratic aspect of our system.
But that's not that apparent over here, you know. All we know is... you know, you as a collective, you voted for this.
I hear what you're saying.
I guess, and you know, and you, as far as I'm concerned, who's really imposing so much threat into the not just to you but the whole world. So, you know, and
it is
so.
Sad,
yeah,
when...
we hold that against the country, but I almost fell into that trap, but you know, I'm glad I found an outlet to where I could talk to sane people.
Let me ask you one last question. I'm really enjoying this phone call, but one last question. After September 11th, 2001, I know that Le Monde, the French newspaper, had its headline, "We are all Americans now," and showed a lot of support in Europe, in France, for the United States, for the fact that you know, we had 3,000 innocent victims that
yes.
were murdered. I assume that in Germany as well, there was a lot of support for America then.
Oh, yeah, we all cried terribly. It was horrible. I mean, we were just in tears, and it was a collective mourning. I can really assure you that.
And I think what's more sad, well, I don't know if more sad, but as sad as September 11th, or almost as sad, is that our president has managed to take this wonderful feeling around the world of sympathy and support for the American people and blown it all away so that
yeah.
we're seen not as a victim but as a perpetrator of
exactly.
violence.
And had he actually not squandered that, the world would have gone with him and helped him and, you know, and sacrificed with him.
I think so. I mean, NATO, of course, is fighting with us in Afghanistan.
It would have turned out differently than it's doing now.
They're not
that supportive
anymore.
That's really the shame of the whole thing.
Am I pronouncing your – tell me how to pronounce your name. I want to pronounce it right.
Well, either way, it's Angelica.
Angelica. Okay. See, I knew I was getting it wrong. However I said it.
It's okay.
Angelica, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it, and I hope you'll call it again sometime.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. Well, I do appreciate it very much.
Okay.
Thanks again for calling in. If anyone else wants to call in, of course, the number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. That was our – I've had international calls before. I had one from Canada, but this is actually the farthest I've ever had before. And, Angelica, I hope you'll call in again on the Inside Scoop. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, I do want to talk about the new information about torture victim Maher Arar. As I said, it's even worse than you can imagine. We'll be right back with that right after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Oh, welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. Just got a terrific call from Angelica. I'm pronouncing it correctly now. Calling all the way from Germany with, I think, what is a common belief as to how America is seen in the Bush years. We are seen as a perpetrator of violence rather than a victim of violence. And I don't know that Americans realize how people all around the world view us. Just look at our closest neighbor, Canada, a country that we rarely even think about because, it is our greatest ally. It is our largest trading partner. It is our entire peaceful northern border. It's a country that really Americans, if they think about it at all, just consider it like America, too. But Canada is riled up at us right now because of what we did. We took a Canadian citizen and we shipped him off to be tortured. And, oh, guess what? He was innocent. It's now coming out in the report that was the 2.5-year investigation of what happened to Meher Arar in a 1,200-page report. New details are coming out. I guess they're finally reading through all 1,200 pages. It turns out Canadian investigators specifically told the FBI that they could not link Meher Arar to a terrorist group, that they could not, in fact, say that he was part of Al-Qaeda, that they yet to complete a detailed investigation of him, and all he has had is contact with individuals of interest to this project. This is from an October 4th fax to the FBI from Canadian terrorist counterterrorism officials. And the FBI replied that they didn't have enough information to support charges against Mr. Arar. Canadian officer agreed they didn't have enough information to charge him in Canada. So there's not enough probable cause to put the guy in jail in America. There's not enough probable cause to detain him in Canada. So what did they do? They sent him to Syria to be tortured. Canadian officials even promised the Americans that if they let him go home to Canada, he'd be kept under surveillance. But that wasn't enough for the Americans. And in fact, at one point, you even had the Americans insisting that he was a member of Al-Qaeda. Well, if he was a member of Al-Qaeda, folks, he could have been charged. It is illegal to support Al-Qaeda. We could have, in fact, charged him with that crime of aiding and abetting a terrorist organization. Not only that, folks, but we, the Americans, intentionally lied to Canadians about moving Arar to Syria. And this after an INS official ruled, somehow, that he was a member of Al-Qaeda. It just doesn't make any sense. After Arar got to Syria, we didn't tell Canada. And in fact, we now know that he was beaten with a heavy metal cable and kept in basically a cell the size of a coffin while we were lying to Canada about where he was. In fact, even after that point, when the Canadian Prime Minister at that time, Jean Chrétien, when he announced that the United States decided unilaterally to send Meher Arar to Syria, he was the Canadian ambassador, we find out in today's New York Times, was summoned to the National Security Council and scolded, saying it was a joint decision. Even Secretary of State Colin Powell said publicly that the Canadians were complicit in the Syria deportation. Well, they weren't. They had nothing to do with it. This was an entirely American idea, and Powell, to his credit, has admitted he was mistaken. So what are we to do about all of this? Well, the Canadian judge suggests that Canada files a formal protest, and I hope they do. Remember, the United States refused to cooperate with the Canadian authorities. We refused to work with our great ally, Canada, to determine what happened. I think a formal protest is in order. All we have said is that what we did with Mr. Arar is in full compliance with the law. Well, there's a very easy response to that one, folks. Either our administration is lying and a war crime was committed, or our laws allow war crimes. Either way, it's the fault of the United States government, and I wouldn't want to have a law that allows this kind of torture. And yet, the proposed bill, here's the kicker, folks, the proposed bill, the one that John McCain has agreed to, would precisely strip non-Americans held under U.S. control overseas of habeas corpus protection, of the right to challenge the federal government to ask why they're holding them. According to John McCain, remember, he's supposed to be the moderate here. According to the agreement between John McCain and George Bush, we can go anywhere in the world, pick up anyone for any reason and send them anywhere to be tortured. Well, my friends, I'm ready for some enterprising journalist to ask the Bush administration, if we were to round up people and put them in concentration camps, would that be against the law? If we were to do some of the experiments that the Nazis did, including, by the way, hypothermia, I mean, some of the Nazis' experiments on the Jews in their camps was to take people out, put them in 10-degree weather, and wait until they freeze to death, and they would mark on their little charts to see at what temperature a human being would freeze to death. If we were to conduct the Nazi medical experiments, would that be torture? Our president refuses to tell us what torture is. And John McCain, trying to be a moderate and also trying to run for president from the Republican Party in 2008, he says we can't do these things. He says we can't do hypothermia. We can't do, you know, intense disruption of sleep. We can't do the kind of stress positions that John McCain himself suffered in North Vietnam. But when the president is asked, can we do these things, his spokespeople say, oh, we're not going to discuss specific torture methods. So I'm ready now. I'm ready for the next journalist to ask the president at the next press conference, Mr. President, if we were to do this, and then he could give the details of a certain Nazi medical experiment, would that be illegal under U.S. law? I'd be curious to see what he has to say. And if he does say, oh, we're not going to comment on specific torture techniques, then I'd let the president know exactly what we're referring to. Toll-free numbers, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Feel free to comment on this or anything going on this week. When we come back, I want to talk about the Do-Nothing Congress, what it has attempted to do, what it has left undone, and what we might expect when it comes back as a lame duck Congress, perhaps after elections, when the Democrats take control. All of that and more on The Inside Scoop, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. All topics are valid as it is the week in review. We had a caller call all the way from Germany, and now we have a caller from California who happens to be one of my, I don't know if there's a nice way to put this, but I don't think she minds talking about her age. One of my eldest listeners and one of my most long-time listeners, Alice in California. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
It's been quite a while, and I haven't gotten any younger.
Well, but you sound like you're doing really well, and it's always good to hear from you.
I did not use to have strong feelings about the death penalty.
Okay.
But George Bush using it so much has turned me against it.
I understand that. I do. I think that sometimes we have to try to distinguish our general views on a topic and how someone is misusing it. But you're absolutely right, both in Texas and in the United States. And the scary thing is, what would be the death penalty without trial? I wonder about all the people that we've killed in our secret prisons, either in the midst of torturing them or through accident or through whatever. And those are people that have had no trial and may well be innocent. And that's, of course, the most scariest use of all.
That's right. I think we should all be proud of Bill Clinton on Fox this week.
Yes, I think, you know, Bill Clinton...
I've always liked him.
I have too, actually, and I think that he's kind of the perfect person for the Fox propaganda channel, because when he comes in person, it's easy to malign him, I guess, when he's not there. Mm-hmm. But in front of a camera and in person, it's virtually impossible. I mean, you can mention his, you know, his adulterous affair, but when it comes to policy matters, it's hard to attack. He's a very winning, charming man. He's got a very logical presentation of issues, and even if you disagree with him, I think he makes the case better than virtually any president we've had in a very long time.
And Mark, I still believe that the 911 was an inside job.
Well, I respect your belief. I'll tell you this. I believe that 911 was and has been and continues to be used by the administration for political purposes rather than using it as a way to protect the public. I'm afraid, not convinced, but I'll tell you this, Alice. I read an interesting article that I'll post up on the website about people that believe that 911 was an inside job, and you have a whole movement there. Mm-hmm. And I know it exists. And I'm still unconvinced, but I agree or disagree, I'm always glad when you call.
Well, keep reading.
Okay, I will. Anything else you want to say?
My favorite is Inside Job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your call, Alice. I appreciate that.
888-488-MARK,
888-488-6275. Of course, now we're counting down toward the election. I think that's where all official Washington is looking. They're ready to do the last week and then to get home and to start campaigning. In the last week, it's very unlikely that anything very important will happen here. The Capitol Dome is burning bright. The bright light at the top of the dome means that Congress is in session. But at best, it looks like 2 of 11 required spending bills will pass. Just 2. No budget whatsoever. Why no budget? Well, because Republicans are fighting with Republicans. It seems that a large amount of Republicans, for example, want to make sure that rich people don't have to pay taxes when they inherit money from their rich dead relatives. Republicans, of course, call it the death tax. And so instead they want a birth tax. Instead of making Anna Nicole Smith pay her fair share, after all, she did nothing but marry a billionaire, and her at 20-something and him at 80-something, instead of making her pay her fair share from money she did not earn, the idea is to have a massive deficit that all who are born in America will have to pay. And so they don't agree on the estate tax, and therefore they didn't even agree on things that you would think they would agree on. For example, a deduction for college tuition costs. Now, I think Democrats and Republicans could come together and say that college is a good thing, that Americans should have a right to send their kids to college, that that's something that, that if someone's good enough to go to college, if they're a good enough student, that equal opportunity means that you shouldn't be denied a college education just because you can't afford it. And if the Republicans see it as a tax cut, fine. But they won't pass it. Why? Because they know that it's such a popular bill that they want to attach it to something. It's just like when they raise the minimum wage. They only will raise the minimum wage if we give Anna Nicole Smith a tax cut. The same will be true with college loans. So instead, they'll cut student loan benefits, saying in effect to students, you want to go to college? Make sure that any 29-year-old playboy bimbo who marries an 85-year-old billionaire gets billions of dollars without taxes. Protect this Republican woman, and we'll allow you to go to college. They're holding us hostage. There are other bills, of course. There are bills the Democrats want to do to allow us to buy cheap prescription drugs from Canada. I know a lot of seniors need that, want that. For some of them, it's essential to them. And to allow our healthcare industry to be subject to bargaining so that the American government can say, hey, we represent a lot of people. We want to get cheaper drugs. But pharmaceutical company opposes that. I mentioned, of course, protecting our chemical plants from being attacked. But nope, chemical plants oppose that. Of course, there are all kinds of bills. There's bills deal with high gas prices. They won't go anywhere. Even basic military authorization won't go anywhere at a time when our military is very strapped. We don't have people that want to fight the war in Iraq. You know, frankly, if this were a war to end all wars, you'd think we'd have a draft. But we don't have the manpower, and we don't even have the body armor that we need. That's not going anywhere. There were questions about immigration. Will we have a broad immigration bill, a way to deal with illegal immigration? In other words, protect our borders, protect American workers, and at the same time treat people humanely. Nothing's going on. Of course, there's no lobbying bill. There was going to be a lobbying overhaul bill to stop the bribery in Congress. None of that. Maybe a bill to wiretap all of us and check all of our emails. That may go somewhere. Apparently the idea is that they can look at suspected terrorists without warrants. The House committee has proposed that bill. But, folks, if they were terrorists, we'd get a warrant. If we had probable cause to believe a person is a terrorist, we wouldn't need this bill. So really what this bill is, of course, is legislation to spy on all of us. I guess in this respect, I'm glad it's not I'm glad it is a do-nothing Congress, because I wouldn't want this bill to pass. Democrats have put forward a lot of Homeland Security legislation based on the recommendations of the September 11th Commission. That's not going anywhere. So basically now Congress comes, and it's time for the election. And there are a number of close elections all across the country. And it will come down, I think, not to all these policies, unfortunately, but to personalities. Because Republicans have learned, Democrats too, I think, that voters aren't watching on immigration bills and Homeland Security bills and lobbying bills and tax bills. No, they're watching on personalities. And so it does matter that George Allen, senator from Virginia, when he was on a football team, would constantly refer to African Americans by using the N-word. That came out this week. The same George Allen that when asked about his mother's Jewish ancestry said, don't cast aspersions on my mother. I didn't know being Jewish was an aspersion. So he's in trouble, not for his record, which is awful, which is 98% supporting George Bush. Basically, he's a lapdog for the president. He does whatever the president says. That's bad enough, but because he's a bad person. Well, I guess that gives us two reasons to vote against George Allen. The same can be said for Rick Santorum in a tough race with Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. I think Casey's way ahead. I think he's going to win. But in Santorum in recent ads, interestingly enough, has said, aha, this person who gave Casey a campaign contribution is now in jail. How dare Casey have once accepted a campaign contribution from this felon? What Santorum failed to mention was that same felon had given him a contribution. It's all getting down to the dirty. That's, I guess, how our elections work. And come November 2006, we'll have a chance to throw out this Congress and elect a new one. For now, though, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Over that, maybe since Dan Rather got the can and he got screwed as well. So I hope the people did this are happy. And we are going to talk about it a lot today. And let me just set up the program for you before I get going on that. Got a couple of great guests today. Going to be very interesting. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to have Dave McMichael. Dave is a former analyst for the CIA and intelligence agency. He joined us before the Bush War started and was right on the money, him and Scott Ritter and Albert and Muhammad Al-Baradei. We had all three of them on. Turned out that every single one of them knew exactly what the situation was, and so Dave's going to be a good guest today, and we'll be talking to him about the situation in Iran and just what to expect from that. We're also going to have in the second hour something kind of new for us on this program. We have Byron DeLeer is going to be on. He's a candidate, a greenie, and you know how I feel about that. And I'll ask him about it, but he's a green candidate running against a Democrat out there who's acted like a Republican. So Byron DeLeer, he's going to be on the second hour, and that should be interesting. If you got any questions for any of these people, we want you to give us a call. If you got any questions about anything I have to say, they have to say, anybody has to say in this program today, give us a call, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. If you want to vent, call and vent. Let's do it. I learned an important lesson yesterday. I guess maybe some of you did as well. A sobering lesson, really. And it's kind of sobering because I've learned it before, and it seems my brain just won't let it soak in for some reason. And why won't it soak in is because it's so damned objectionable. I just don't want to believe it. And what I had to learn all over again is that this country is being controlled by a bunch of assholes who don't get.
what your country can do for you.